Hello and welcome. My name is Christopher Chandler.
And my name is Chris Schauer. And we are Generally American. In our podcast, we discuss events, culture, whatever else we want from a generally American perspective.
From our differing viewpoints, our goal is that we can offer others and ourselves nuanced opinions on fascinating topics related to the U.S.
We invite you to be part of the discussion, and we hope that you'll stick around to see where the conversation takes us. So let's dive in.
And we're back.
We are back a little bit later than usual, but we're here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was sick last week. Everyone was sick. Daughter was sick. Wife was sick. Migraines.
And I felt bad. The way we have to schedule this is I show up 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday, which isn't really that early, but I like to sleep in on the weekends. I rolled over and I saw the message on my phone. I was like, man, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. All right, I'm going back to sleep. Sorry, I'm going to enjoy this. I feel bad, but tired me doesn't think too hard.
No, I completely understand. Is it 9:30 or 10:30 at the moment?
It's 10:11 right now.
Oh, okay.
In the morning.
Yeah, so we are officially now on the same page time-wise because we had to move our clocks up. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I think. So, because the U.S. and Germany change clocks at different times, so there's always like a gap of like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that which is a crazy amount of time to be different on.
Yeah, it really is. And I always forget like when to do what. So like when do you push them forward? When do you pull them back? There were some. Like a mnemonic trick a coworker taught me once, like in spring you jump ahead an hour and fall, you fall back an hour.
Yeah. Spring forward, fall back.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better. Yeah. His was a bit different, but it was the same meaning. Yeah. I kind of like that. So, it's a nice play on words. It doesn't work in German though. But still I hate daylight savings times. Saving time.
I feel like I'm still off balance, which is super sad to say. Like I can sleep mostly normal now, but I got in the habit of taking like midday naps, and it just destroys me. I can't do it. But I'll get off the clock. I'll get off work because I work from home, and I'll just walk into the bedroom and like read something on my tablet for like 30 minutes. Get all comfortable in bed. And then I'll doze off for like 45 minutes, and then I'm like groggy all night, and it's hard to sleep. Like, I'm making bad choices.
I mean, it really messes me up too. I think it was pretty. It was actually a lot worse for my wife because she stays awake with the baby a lot, and so she was like, it was 2 a.m, and then all of a sudden it was 3 a.m, and she was like, wait, what happened? And she's like, oh, that's right, they changed the clocks. Yeah, I don't think it helps. I'd like to get rid of it if we could. But, I mean, that's a story for another day. Weather-wise, the weather here has been terrible. Although it was really nice yesterday. It was like 75 or something, which for me is beautiful weather. That's perfect weather. I spent the majority of the time, though, moving to my new apartment. I was talking to Chris about this before we actually started the episode. So I've been moving bit by bit, as you say. So every day I drive to the apartment and put 2 boxes there and come back. I'm like 40% done.
He was smart enough to move in the spring and not during like the coldest cold snap I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a good point. I mean, it doesn't get that cold here, though. God, I think the coldest it's gotten here is maybe like 20 degrees, maybe 10 degrees. I don't know. It doesn't get that cold here. But yeah, today the weather was semi-nice. It was like 60 degrees, windy. And so I was like, you know what? Let's go for a walk with the baby in the baby stroller. I don't regret the walk. I do regret the weather because it wasn't really that pleasant. It reminds me of, it's a Scandinavian term. I don't know the word and what it is, but it's referred to as like window weather. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, like it's pretty to look at, but you don't want to be in it.
Yeah, that's the weather here. It's nice to look at through the window, but it's not nice to be in. But what about your neck of the woods?
So it's been pretty nice. like in the 70s pretty much at all times. I actually met up with the friends I used to live with,
mm-hmm.
and showed them some walking paths in the area, because they have a young dog who they've been actually taking to puppy training school.
Oh.
So we went on a walk for about an hour, and it was beautiful out. It was great. And then later that night, I went for just a walk by myself in my neighborhood. And on Friday, I basically had every window in my place open all day, because it's the weather right now where I just have the thermostat off, and the temperature is just gonna, it's gonna be a little cool in the morning. It's gonna be a little hot in the afternoon. It kind of just averages out to be about where you want it to be anyway, and it's free. That being said, I'm already looking at the forecast for next week, and it's supposed to be kind of rainy and cool starting like Tuesday, which we're recording on a Sunday, and that's a bummer. I just want it to be hot all the time now, but it is only mid-April, and I've seen it blizzard at this time of year before, so I shouldn't complain too much.
You know what they say, April showers bring May flowers. So
we get May showers here. That's usually how it works. Yeah, we're like a month behind everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it just rains here all the time. I told my professor a couple years back, because she complained about the weather in Germany. She's German. And she's like, why does anyone come here? And I was like, you don't come to Germany for the weather. You come here for the culture. And she's like, yeah, that's a fair point. Like, no one says, I'm going to go to Germany because I love the weather. Like, if you love the weather, then go to like France or Spain, but you don't come here. Or you go to the south if you like skiing, you know, then you're in like Switzerland territory. But otherwise, I mean, the weather here is just, it's to die for, in the sense that it's so terrible that you want to die. With that being said, you know, that's the bi-weekly weather report. So what are we going to get into? The meat and potatoes.
We are going to discuss media today. Not any particular story in the news or any media sources particularly, but more just the experience of consuming the media and kind of the filter and the skepticism you really need to parse all the incoming information these days.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder. I guess some of the listeners might ask themselves why the media in particular, because maybe it could be the same in every country. But what I definitely think is interesting about the U.S. and when comparing it to Germany is that a lot of the newspapers or a lot of like the media outlets have a very open and clear bias, whether they're like left-leaning or like central or they're right-wing. Whereas in Germany, it's not really that case. It's not really the case that the outlets here really lean towards a political spectrum. I know there are some people who are like, oh, that's not true. You know, I could list off a couple ones where you could probably say like maybe they're a bit more right-wing. But the main difference is how vocal I would say the media is in the US, like CNN and Fox, for example, being like the two biggest examples of how vocal and how obvious it is where they're leaning, where here it's more like you're kind of left guessing, like what's the slant. But I would say the majority of the newspapers here are really like left leaning. At least that's my perception.
I would also say there's a big generational divide.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So nobody our age is sitting down to watch like scheduled news. Like when I was a kid growing up, I would have dinner, you know, we'd have dinner around 6 p.m. and my dad would turn on the O'Reilly Factor, and I would watch and we would watch that because it came on at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people, I don't even see many older people these days anymore, like, oh, it's 5 p.m. It's time for the nightly, you know, news report. Like, that's just not the world we live in anymore. I know some people still do that,
mm-hmm.
or just have it on in the background. But again, like, that's a big generational divide.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I definitely don't think most people are sitting in front of the news and the TV at the moment, like, oh, it's the 6 o'clock news. However, I think that's probably only true for maybe local news. If you're really interested in what's happening in your local area, then you might tune in. But in terms of like national syndicates, I can't imagine most people actually really caring about when the news comes on. Mostly because you can just have it whenever you want. You can have it whenever you want, wherever you want, however you want it. You know, it's kind of like a free for all, basically.
Yeah, and it's an interesting experience for me in terms of local media.
Mm-hmm.
So Billings, you know, it's a city, but it's not really big enough to make any national news, except for the very few exceptions. And all our local news is pretty much like talked about on Facebook. And I've been off Facebook for a very long time, which has been great.
You're not on Facebook anymore?
No, it was, I'm glad I'm off. Like, I feel so much better, but I did that like years and years ago, that's how like you have to keep up on local news here. But half the year, or a little under half the year, I'll watch TV for like sports and things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it will be on local channels that are, you know, forwarding the broadcast of whatever national game it is. So every now and again on the ads, you'll get a little clip of local news like, oh, tonight over at, you know, local school, this is happening. We'll talk more about that tonight. And I'm like, oh, it's like, this is like the only tiny little slice of local news I'm getting, because where else could I possibly hear about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on Facebook, so I'm one of the old people. I say old because I was talking to my little sister and she's like, oh, you still use Facebook? I was like, yeah, is there anything wrong with that? And she's like, oh, that's only for old people. But my younger sister is a lot younger than me, so I can kind of understand that. Demographically speaking, Facebook's, I guess, population, if I want to use that word, is pretty old. But anyways, you're saying like local news. That's where I get my local news. Not from my hometown in the U.S., but from the town I live in here. I mean, I could read the newspaper, but I choose not to.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. And for the record, as much as I dog on Facebook, it was great for that. Like, there were local groups like, hey, this restaurant's great. Hey, this restaurant's awful. Hey, I remember one evening there was a high-speed chase going on, and it went on for like 2 or 3 hours. And everyone was like, oh, they just drove past my house at blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, I just saw them over here. And then all the moderators got in and like, don't share information the police haven't shared, and they ruined all the fun. And that was when I left that group, because I mean I was taking some enjoyment out of it, I'll admit, but also like, there's somebody driving through Billings and has stolen like 3 cars already. Like, they're having like a real Grand Theft Auto chase right now, and it'd be kind of nice to know what part of town they're in so I cannot be out on the street.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. So I mean, I don't know if I really actually made the distinction, at least when I was growing up, between like local and national news. I mean, news was news, so I didn't really care where it came from. I still don't really care too much. I mean, we'll kind of get into that later about the whole bias, but yeah, I mean, news in general is super important, like the media in general. But as I said before, it's kind of vitriolic. It's become like very, I guess, tainted. Yeah. I think that's my perception of it.
There will always be bias. I remember when I was in a high school, a pretty high level high school history class, and a professor or the teacher was talking about bias, and everyone always says you shouldn't have bias in news, you shouldn't have bias in history. That's impossible. Bias is the perspective through which you interpret life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to let it be like a blatant bias, like, oh, I'm from, you know, I was born in somewhere in the South, therefore the Civil War is bad. Like, like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just like, you can, it's your way of relating and then relating it to the reader or the viewer. It's not inherently bad. It's always going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to pretend it isn't real is the problem. That being said, being aware of your bias and doing your due diligence to represent all sides is a part of that. It's when you don't do that, or you intentionally don't do that, that there's problems.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bias. I've read a lot of articles, watched a lot of documentaries about how news back in, I don't know, like the 60s and 70s was maybe less biased than it is now. I don't think that's necessarily true. But I think you're always going to have some bias in the media. I think the problem is that people don't really check their bias. So they assume that it doesn't exist. Like, I'm just telling it how it is, or I'm just stating the facts.
Which nobody does.
No one does.
Like,
that.
I'm actually, you just triggered my memory of that teacher a little bit more. He basically said if there was no bias in history or news, every report would just be bullet points of this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Like, you need context to like relate the facts to people, which is the bias.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like it's more obvious because I would like to believe the things that I consume are completely neutral, that they're not biased, they're just being honest and straightforward and stating the facts. But I don't necessarily see that actually being the case. So without like getting into the specifics, if I'm watching a news report about a certain event and they're reporting on an event saying like this and this happened, and they're like, yeah, okay. And so they describe certain countries or they describe certain people in such a way where like, yeah, that's an accurate description. And then I go to like an opposing news outlet and they describe my team or like the people I'm rooting for in a negative light, that I view them as having a bias, whereas I view my team is not having a bias, if that makes any sense. So like we kind of live in this, what do they call it? Like an echo chamber. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of, we feed off each other. And so we assume that everything we say is correct. And then you talk to your friends and you talk to your family and everyone kind of validates your opinion. And I really try hard to leave that chamber, but it's really difficult.
that's the important thing. So yeah. Kind of getting this away from the scope of like left versus right politics, mm-hmm. or things like that. So let's say you follow a film review channel,
mm-hmm.
and they're very upfront with, hey, I really like, let's say I really love comedy movies. I hate horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say a new horror movie comes out and they love the horror movie. That means like, okay, they hate horror movies, they love this horror film. Does that mean it's just such a great movie that despite the genre, it's just that good? Or is it such a bad horror movie that it's not even a horror movie and they like it? Like it's unintentionally funny, so he loves it. It's not a good or a bad. I think that's a useful review. That's a useful piece of media. You would need to kind of like check it against other sources to kind of put the picture together. Like, oh, maybe this person that specializes in reviewing horror movies, they love it. Okay, then this is like a transcendent film. It doesn't matter what genre of film you like. It's that good, you'll love it. Or the horror specialist hates it. Like, okay, this is a pretty awful movie. It's so awful. It's funny. That's why the first guy likes it so much. That's useful.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're getting to is like the territory of like gatekeepers, you know, like what to,
I wouldn't even say that. It's just people have their bias and it's not even a good or a bad thing. It's just people have different taste. And I think that's like viewing bias through the scope of like, editorial review type content or media. Like, that's how you make use of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, like I said, I think it's just more important that you recognize that. Either you recognize it yourself when you're doing it, like the quote-unquote like conflict of interest. That's more like an extreme form of bias in terms of like law, where you can't do something because it kind of, as the term states, it conflicts with your interests. So either you recognize it yourself, or your readers have to do it. So someone has to do it. Otherwise, you kind of go down, I guess, like a rabbit hole, so to speak, where like you have kind of like this tunnel vision of everything.
Yeah. And again, just being as varied as possible in your exposure is valuable to like combat things.
That is true. Like, so I definitely try to expose myself to different types of media, like radio, YouTube, like TV, and from like different news providers, so to speak, news channels. But I mean, you were talking about like movie reviews, which isn't necessarily news. I mean, it's still media.
Yeah. It's the same idea. It's something that has to be conveyed through the lens of the author's bias.
Yeah, that's definitely actually a very valid point. I mean, you can kind of expand that to include like reviews in general. So
yeah,
if you go to like reviews on, go on.
I was going to say, for example, I doubt you're familiar with this channel, but there is a channel on YouTube called Video Game Donkey.
No, I am not familiar.
he makes very good videos. It's kind of a eclectic mix of like really goofy stuff and every now and again, like really serious, like analytical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a video where he's actually talking about this topic of reviews and like how to use them. And he's like, hey, I hate anime. Oh. I hate turn-based combat. So if I tell you that I love Persona 5, which is a anime turn-based combat game, like that, you know, that means something. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing ever, but I mean that you have to stop and think about like what my opinion as mm-hmm. a reviewer or just someone who puts opinions online means when something I should extra hate I love. And that's kind of where I was going with the movie thing. Like, it might not be good, but something about that combo or whatever is being reviewed appeals to someone that should hate it.
Mm.
And I think that's just value, which is why, so for me, when I'm trying to get information on something,
mm-hmm.
like I'll follow like four film reviewers who are kind of have different opinions on things, right? So yeah. If a good amount of them like something and they have different tastes, then it's probably just generally good. Or if one of them hates something, but another one likes it, like, well, that guy I know just hates those things in general, so I'll probably like it anyway. Like, it's useful to have that broad tapestry of opinions you can pull on. You can kind of construct what something is based on that.
I mean, yeah, that is true, that basically if you're really, I mean,
this, I'm also someone who has the spare time to waste on that. So I realize this is not applicable to everyone.
I mean, but that is also kind of an interesting case of referring to like reviewing anime or like turn-based combat. I mean, both of which I like. I don't know if I like the combination, so I'm not a fan of the Persona series. I have played them, but not really my cup of tea. But anyway, that's also a trick that people like to use, which is like, you know, I don't really like these things, but this one is like really good. And so it could kind of lure you into like a false sense of security, I would say. So it would kind of get you, like influencers use this a lot.
Oh yeah. I didn't even consider that, but like Instagram, like just, Here's an influencer posting with this product.
Yeah, yeah, and so they kind of use that, and you're like, you know, I would never suggest anything that would really harm your health, and I'm really against smoking, but you should really try these e-cigarettes because they're nicotine-free, they're actually really good for your lungs. And so that kind of thing. So it kind of, I would say, allows or forces you to kind of put your guard down, because someone's like, you know, I would never suggest anything that goes against my code, or I would never suggest anything that is like harmful towards you. I admit that's kind of a convoluted example. That's kind of extreme.
But I mean, it's accurate. I mean, it's scary how well it works, and they get paid a lot of money for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely do. So that's, definitely a strong point, a very, a dangerous point, I would say, mm-hmm. which kind of goes into what we've been talking to, is kind of like trust. So how do you trust people? Like, how do you trust what they're saying? I mean, you can also apply it to this podcast, because we're talking about the US and to a certain extent Germany. So like, how can you trust that we're being faithful to like reality?
Well, I mean, we're also, I mean, the reality is you have one person living in Billings, Montana.
Who, yeah.
You know, it's not nowhere, but it's not everywhere. And you have a person who hasn't lived there in over a decade, which it's not that we don't know nothing or anything. Yeah. It's just that we're going to have certain perspectives.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm going back to the US and for about like a month and a half. So I go back every year, but still, it's definitely very different, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast, to keep in touch with all that.
Yeah.
But still.
And also, while we're on the topic of us, we could just be wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
We're not perfect. And I think that goes to, we don't necessarily fall into this perfectly, but there is the incentive in media today to just get it out there.
Yeah, basically.
Just be first, just talk it out, just get it out there. That's not necessarily what we're doing, but sometimes we just need to get it out there, so we might say something and we might be wrong. It's not malicious or on our end.
But
we can just say something and we might be incorrect.
That's a good point, is also being malicious. So in terms of like trust, we have this like fake news, which when I was growing up, I'm sure that was a thing. Like, spreading false information has always been a thing. Spreading lies, trying to deceive people by...
They used to just be called false reports, and it sounded smarter.
Or alternative facts. I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh my... No, that was in the stupid age.
So... You feel free to correct me, because I don't know the whole story, but there was this one, wasn't it a senator who was talking about like a terrorist attack in a certain city that had never happened, and someone called.
That was Bowling Green, Kentucky, I think.
Yeah, so there was a supposed terrorist attack in, I think it was Kentucky, and it turned out to just not be true. Like, it never happened, and so someone called her a liar. And I think either she or her representative said, like, no, those are just alternative facts. And so it's alternative.
I think you're mixing two stories.
Am I?
So if I remember the alternative facts thing, so when it was Trump's inauguration,
mm-hmm.
they were like, oh, it's the biggest crowd for an inauguration ever. And they would like show footage and like that. But like, the footage was from like Obama's inauguration. Like, He did not break records for most people at an inauguration. Not that it really matters, but it really matters to him. And when challenged with like real numbers, I think it was like his press secretary or something, that's when she coined the term alternative facts.
See, and that's one of the reasons why I'm glad we're doing this together. You're completely correct. And so I just double checked. So, So Kellyanne Conway, that's her name, is the one who claimed that there was a terrorist attack in Bowling Green, Kentucky, like a long, long time ago. And it just never happened. So that was a lie. And so that's kind of why I confused it. And you're right. It was Donald Trump, like the whole like the biggest inauguration. And then he said those are just alternative facts. So thank you for the correction. So I think we live in an era where you can't really trust a lot of things people are saying. Either people are correct, whether they're malicious or not. So you have to really be due diligent. You really have to do your homework and double check to make sure that everything is correct.
Sometimes that's just waiting. So, for example, I woke up this morning. It's April 14th, and I saw news about the Israeli-Iranian conflict that's kind of ramping up. Very base level facts. I am not at all equipped to talk about it right now, but I will tell you what's on my mind right now is everything with a grain of salt, because we are in get the story out first mode right now.
Yeah.
A lot of the media is going to be. So there's a very good chance I see four headlines and two of them or less are correct, or they mix up a very important detail. Like, I don't even want to give an example to even consider where they could go wrong with it, but sometimes just slow down and let it happen. Like, just, you don't need to have the hottest talking points right now to chat with your friends. Like, you obviously something's happening, but waiting for complete information I think is really important, and it's hard for us these days.
That is definitely true. I think I don't know if this has always been true, but it definitely feels like it's kind of like shoot first and like ask questions later kind of approach. And I've been guilty of this where I read stories or I read reviews for like video games and I'm like, oh my God, this is so terrible. Or I get really emotionally invested into something just really quickly. And then more information comes out and I feel kind of stupid for like a premature reaction to something. Like it doesn't have to be something as like severe as like a war. I mean, it could just be like someone's reporting on a company or just like anything in general. So we have to learn to withhold judgment when things like this happen. But it's really hard because you have like a lot of peer pressure and a lot of people are like, oh, it's so obvious. Like I said, not necessarily like the war or anything, but it's like, oh, it's so obvious. You should feel this way. Like, why don't you? Like, why do you need more information? So you have to kind of wait for, you know, more information. You have to kind of let your conscience be your guide kind of approach.
Yeah. And it's especially so I kind of watch a much, much lower stake thing that I am comfortable talking about.
Okay.
So bringing it to sports real quick. So this happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Rashee Rice, he is a wide receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a rookie last year. He, in Texas, him and some friends were street racing on the highway. They were going like over 100 miles an hour, and the two cars they had basically sandwiched this car, caused an accident. No one was really that hurt, which is kind of a miracle considering they were how fast they were going. I mean, there were injuries, but nothing serious. No cars flipped or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his friends left the scene of the crime. And there was someone took a video of it. There was dash cam. TMZ got a hold of it right away, got it released. So all that happened, but the reporting was like, because it's the off season in the NFL, everyone's just desperate for anything to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone was like, I have to tweet about this. I have to write an article about this. I have to get something out of this and I have to go now. So there was a Lamborghini and a Corvette involved, and they were like, oh, Rice was driving the Corvette, and you can see him leaving the scene. And also there was marijuana in the car, and it was a felony amount in Texas to have that much. And it was like, he was actually driving the other car, and while he did have marijuana in the car, and that is illegal in Texas, they got the amount wrong. Not the amount that he had, but the amount that the law is for that level of crime, which you think would be a very easy thing to just look up and not get wrong. But you could just see there was just a wave of tweets that day. And they were all just like, I have to talk about the most recent thing. I just have to, okay, what was the news? Okay, we're talking about that. Oh, it was wrong? And it's just embarrassing to see. And again, this is a low stakes thing. Like, the guy did it,
yeah,
and he actually was charged and everything, and he's going through the legal process right now. But imagine if this was done in a slightly different way, or if they got the name wrong, and now we're piling all this attention on someone that doesn't deserve it. Like, that's the thing that scares me. It's just, we're all so desperate for anything to talk about.
Yeah.
That we're just like, someone's going to tweet about it 5 minutes after it happens, and we all, it's the new discourse.
Yeah, that's definitely true, how fast information spreads. It's crazy. Whether it's true or not.
And you get rewarded for it.
That's definitely true. I mean,
you get double rewarded for it. And that's not a new thing, because you can make the initial tweet, mm-hmm. write the initial article, get that engagement. And then you're like, hey, I made a mistake, which you should admit you made a mistake. And you make a new tweet and you write a new article and you get double engagement. That's surprisingly not a new thing. I wish I could remember the source of this, but I was listening to a YouTube video a couple of years ago talking about this exact topic. And back in the day of like when newspapers were the big thing and there were like criers on the street where you could go buy a newspaper from someone on the street corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they would print a newspaper with a incorrect story, sell it, make money. People would get mad, like, hey, you got this wrong. That's not what happened. Like, oh, you're right. We'll print a retraction. You sell that newspaper. And then you write another newspaper with the real story, and you sell that too. Mm. So it's not a new phenomenon as much as, you know, we might like to think it is. It just happens a lot faster now.
Yeah, but the problem is you don't really get a lot of credit or respect for doing due diligence or for like doing your homework or like even just writing like a correction. That's less interesting. People just kind of take things at face value, and that's just how it is, unfortunately. But even, I don't know if there's anything, because you said like low stakes, but I don't know if that's true for any story really, because these things kind of live on forever. I mean, it used to be that things were reported and they just kind of died out, because, you know, like the papers got lost or the recordings got lost, but now because of the internet, everything just lives on forever. Something that you did like 20 years ago is going to be there for like forever until the day you die. Or the earth implodes.
Well, we just saw a great example of that. O.J. Simpson just died.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And guess what every article was about. It wasn't about his record-breaking. I mean, mostly wasn't about his record-breaking seasons in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It was about his court case from like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. He just got released from prison, I think, like 10 years ago or something, maybe not that long ago.
I think it was longer. So what they eventually got him for, he went away for like 9 years for like an armed robbery.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened was he was kind of broke and he had sold some sports memorabilia to a sports like memorabilia store.
Mm-hmm.
Either he or someone else did, and he's like, I'm just gonna go take it back.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah, and so that's definitely true. And that's what he'll be remembered for. Like, that's his legacy. I can't tell you anything about his football career. I don't know anything about him.
I have known about O.J. Simpson, like, my whole life, right? Like, mm-hmm. that court case happened the year I was born. So he was always just, like, mentioned in popular media as, like, the butt of the joke. Like, he was in Family Guy episodes. And then I've been a football fan for like 8-9 years now. And I was listening to a video the other day, like just talking about like his actual sports career. The dude was like absolutely transcendent, like amazing. Like he was a first overall pick in the draft. He was the best, at minimum, he was the best running back of the 1970s, probably more. It's weird having like such a person with such amazing accomplishments that in many ways have never been topped, even, you know, 50 years later. But we're never going to talk about that. Like it'll be a tiny cliff note. Like sports nerds will be like, we have to talk about it, guys. It happened. He was amazing. We can't just pretend he didn't exist. Like he left his mark. But for 90% of people, it's going to be like the murder.
I mean, that's a good closing point because we're almost at the end. But that's definitely a good closing point, is how media shapes our perception of people and their legacies. like another big example, so I won't go into details for obvious reason, but like Michael Jackson. So like what happened with his court case and whatnot was pretty much overshadows his musical career, because I mean, musically, I feel like he was a very talented person, but you know, what happened during his career kind of overshadows that, unfortunately. So like the media really shapes our view on like public figures, like how we're supposed to feel about them. And so because of all this reporting, we have to feel a certain way. Like OJ Simpson was acquitted. So, I mean, he should be a free man. But in the court of public opinion, it doesn't really matter.
Well, he was found liable for the murder in the civil trial.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And I think he had to pay like restitution or something.
I know we're coming to the end, but for anyone outside the U.S. who probably hasn't had this shoved down their throat nearly as much as we have, look into the actual criminal case. The investigators basically botched all the evidence and the case, so he kind of, that plus the glove defense.
Oh yeah.
Like this was like, he should not have won that case, but investigators messed it up bad.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't look that far into the whole case either. I mean, the whole thing was publicized when I was pretty much pretty young, so I don't remember most of it. But yeah, so the media definitely does push us into certain directions, certain boxes. It really does shape our opinion on like various things. Even this podcast is considered media. I mean, it is a podcast. Obviously, we do have a bias towards, you know, the U.S. like presenting like good facts. Although to our defense, I feel like we've talked about stuff that is not so flattering.
The U.S. I'll complain about that all day. For example, real quick, I have a friend on a month-long vacation in Japan right now.
Oh.
And he live streamed a walk. It was like a midnight walk he was taking through Osaka. And I was just like, man, it's so clean there. There's like dedicated bike lanes. Like, it's beautiful. Like, they blow us out of the water on public infrastructure on every level. Like, woof. I think we're very good at saying when we are not great.
Yeah, but I mean, then they also work like 70 hours a week or something.
Right. It's pros and cons. It's not, nowhere's perfect.
And I think that's a really good point to end on, is like no place is perfect. Like no media outlet is perfect. Everyone has their biases. Everyone has their flaws. You know, as people like to say, the grass is greener on the other side. Or at least we feel like that. Even like for like Germany, for example, when I talk about Germany, because I've been here for about 12 years now. And when I talk about it, I talk about like a lot of the good stuff, because that's one of the reasons that motivates me to stay here. And then people are like, oh my God, it's so much better than the US. And I love it. But if you talk to Germans, they're like, well, why would you stay in Germany? Like, the US is so much better. It's so cool. So it's all a matter of perspective, what's good and what's bad, not morally speaking. We're not talking about like ethics or anything, but like, you know, like what motivates you to go somewhere, what motivates you to do something or to report on something. It's all a matter of like perspective.
And I would encourage everyone to keep a varied and differing pool of sources you get all your media from. If you watch one film reviewer, and that's the only film reviewer you watch for 5 years, your opinions are probably going to start sounding a lot like theirs. If you watch five film reviewers, you'll probably have a pretty healthy mix and understanding of things. Same thing with, you know, with political news, sports news, food reviews, like whatever. Like, you just, that's how you avoid just parroting everything you hear and read.
Yeah. Sometimes you can tell what kind of news people watch is how they speak, because they quote things verbatim.
Yes, you can.
So, I don't really hold any one person up to like a godlike status or put them on a pedestal or anything. I think everyone is fallible. I think everyone is equally competent at making mistakes, whether in good faith or bad faith.
Yeah, and some people just have bad opinions.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me rephrase this. I have bad opinions. I bet you have bad opinions.
Yeah.
There are definitely people I review as I watch are like, I agree with like 85-90% of what you're saying, but we're talking about like horror movies now and your opinions are horrible. Like, I can't take anything you're saying seriously right now. And I have things I talk about where I know I'm on that level too, but I just can't let it go. Like, it's important to recognize like everyone has bad takes.
Yeah, that's true. You know, as they said in the 90s, you have to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
It's super old. With that being said, a very interesting topic. Stay safe, stay smart, stay curious. Thanks so much for listening. And I don't have anything else to add. I don't know if you want to throw anything in there before we get out of here.
Enjoy spring, because it's great.
Yeah, definitely enjoy spring. Yeah, thanks so much for listening, and take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.
We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. We hope that it was informative and that we were able to expand your worldview, even if only just a little.
Welcome feedback, comments, and constructive criticism. If you'd like to provide us with any, please reach out to us at our Discord or email address, both of which will be listed in the description.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time.